afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And
well, I'm glad to hear that. As you say it while you're out of breath, you must have been running real hard all day.
Absolutely, running around trying to get everybody all boxed up, shipped out, and it's kind of nice just kind of sit down here and with the hour and chit-chat for a little bit. And one thing I do know, it's just nuts out there. it just gets crazier and crazier. And it's just like I'm just sitting back and I'm just truly amazed. Truly amazed.
Well, you know, we're going to scratch on some things today, but but every day, if it makes you feel like more and more you're in the Twilight Zone.
I know it. I got to start playing the Twilight song as the...
That'd be a good idea, actually.
No, I think so. Mm-hmm.
But some days you wonder, are you dreaming? Or is this for real, you know?
I you know what and everybody takes it so seriously, and it's just like so anyway, it's kind of nice just to sit back and watch it all unfold, because I think everybody on both sides, they might think they know how it's going to unfold, but I think it's going to surprise them how it really does in the end. But we still have pressure on gold with all the nuttiness out there. Pressure on gold down 320 today at 1198.90. Silver was down 4 cents today, 1423. Both platinum and palladium were up big today. Platinum was up 13 at 816, and palladium was up almost 3% to, well, 2.75% of $27 at 1019. The USDX today, of course, was stronger by 0.13 at 94.64. Crude oil was up almost a buck. It was actually up 0.93 at 69.84. And the paper markets today were just nuts. They were closing in on 300 points to the upside. They pulled back. Dow didn't make it, up 1%. It was up 0.75%, up 184 at 26,247. The NASDAQ was up 60 points at 7,956, and the S&P was up 15 at 2,904. And 10-year yield, 3.05%. To me, that's one of the indicators that things are going to get real bumpy here soon. 3.05%, up 0.05. Euro 117, up just slightly. European markets and Asian markets were mostly up overnight. No fear in the emotion of trade, and Bitcoin is still holding around 6,200. So just a wacky day in the trading. You know, you hear all these warnings of everyone. I mean, people are just nuts. I mean, just nuts. And it just baffles me.
Well, it seems like the markets are immune to all of it, so it makes no difference.
It just makes no difference. And it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, I think at the end of the third quarter, the companies can no longer buy their stocks back for a month. So it'll be interesting to see if we have any impact briefly anyway on the markets until they finally do end up collapsing. There was a couple things I wanted to touch base with. I know you have a lot of things that you want to talk about. I didn't know if there was one in particular that you wanted to start.
Well, if you got something, you go ahead. Ladies first.
Well, you know, everyone remembers Gary Cohen. He was once the economic advisor to President Trump prior to my BFF, Larry Kudlow. And he says if the Democrats win the House, he says the first thing that they're going to do is infrastructure. He says, and it's going to be another $1 trillion of debt. Here we come. And we're looking at the national debt is expected to rise to 28.7 $1 trillion from $15.7 trillion over the next decade. This is according to the CBO. Cohen said he would have preferred a public-private partnership, and that's what everybody was talking about. Maybe they were just talking about that when he was in there. But now it looks like it's going to be all coming out of us. He says he did a live interview yesterday, and he says they'll do $1 trillion, $1.5 trillion of infrastructure, and he says the president will sign it. He says the perennial issue for Washington lawmakers, the national debt is expected to rise, as I mentioned, and so it's just more of the same, just to keep it going. And but again, Kudlow, Larry Kudlow, who is now in that position, is suggesting entitlement reform is coming.
And there are two things there. First off, if the Democrats get the House, they plan to proceed with impeachment.
Yep.
Okay? That'll throw the things off kilter a little bit, I guess you could say, if we could even tell it now. And they're going to mess with entitlements. What do you mean by that?
Well, that means there goes all your free benefits. So, you know, they're going to trim back Social Security. They're going to trim back Medicare, Medicaid. You know, Kudlow downplays the effect of the GOP tax cuts on the budget deficits. And he says, saying that the shortfalls are due to longer-term spending problems. Well, you know, of course that's what they're going to say, but that's really not the truth. And so you're going to see big cuts to these programs. And that's the only thing they can do. I mean, they can't get enough revenue to pay our debt. We can't even pay the interest on our debt. We got to borrow to pay the interest on the debt. I mean, it's just insane. It's
How much more can we carry as taxpayers?
Well, you tell me. Everybody thinks that we'll be able to grow ourselves out of our problems, that you know, everybody's wages are growing so much, the economy is growing so much. Well, to me, and this is the way I look at the economy, hey, great. The economy's great, right? So we're looking at 70% of the economy is consumer-based. So where's the consumers getting all this money? It's all debt.
That's true. We're going to find that in a little bit in one of the articles I want to share. The economy is not that great for everybody.
You know, and, you know, I get there's parts of the economy that, you know, won't be growing at the same time as I get that. It's, you know, it could be territorial and so forth. Demographics plays a large part in certain areas. But, I mean, when you really, they're out there buying, but they're not saving. They don't have retirement accounts. The money that is in retirement accounts, do you think the government isn't just, you know, waiting behind the scenes, getting ready to take it? Do you really believe they're going to let people walk away?
Well, what's the poverty level now considered to be?
Oh, yeah, I don't know, the mid-20s?
Well, I know a bunch of people that don't come up that far. They probably go 15 to 16,000 maybe. And I'm serious. I know them personally. And they're making it. But they're making it barely. So how much of a cut will it take to take them under?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, if somebody's on Social Security and they cut it back 5%, and they can barely make it now, what are they going to do when that is taken away? I mean, these are serious things, and their expenses are doubling. In our area, our electricity bills doubled over the last couple of years. Everybody's, and no one got a double percentage increase in their pay retirement. So it's going to have to go the other direction soon, where people are not going to make it. And I don't know when that's going to be. If they do the infrastructure, if they do cut into the what they call entitlements, although and part of those really are entitlements because they're our money. But if they cut that back, a lot of people are going to be really hurting, Melody. And I'm not talking about older people either. I'm talking about all ages. People that are just barely making $15,000-$18,000 a year now, and they're already below poverty level. Another $5,000 a year cut would just about destroy them.
Absolutely. And when you look at the retiree, if you're on a set income of maybe $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month, if it cuts back 5%, it's easier. I think it's actually easier for them to cut back because they're not carrying the amount of debt as someone who has a retirement plan and a pension plan, and they're out living the nightlife and the high life. You know, with debt, with, you know, financing their new cars, financing their, you know, bigger homes and furniture and all this kind of stuff. They're so totally into debt. If that gets cut back and they lose a large part of their pensions and so forth, they're the ones that all those loans will be defaulted on because they can't pay them. You know, well, that's a, you know, snowball that's
sooner or later. Yeah. Sooner or later, you got to pay the fiddler. That's all there is to it. It has to happen.
You know, yeah. I mean, there was an article that was published, I think it was last week, where you see baby boomers, they're struggling to downsize. And they're talking about that, you know, maybe this could be the next, you know, crisis, you know, where they're, you know, they're trying to downsize. They can't. And, you know, because of these rising mortgage rates. You know, how can you downsize when you're going out and trying to find a new place, even though you're downsizing, but with higher rates and everything, you're basically paying the same thing. So it's, you know, it's so it's going to be interesting as we see these baby boomers prepare for retirement, although many of them are already. There's about, 74 million baby boomers that were born between 1946 and 1964.
And how many baby boomers are raising grandchildren now or have their own children move back in with them?
That's true. Both,
that's
yeah.
That's very true. That's very
yeah.
true.
Mm-hmm.
It so. Isn't right, but it is what it is. No matter whose fault it is, whether it's the millennials' fault or the government's fault for spending as much, it makes no difference. The effects are the same. The situations are coming home to roost right now, and people are starting to feel it. I know they are, and I don't see any let up on it. I wish I did. I wish I could say, man, it's really looking better, and maybe in some areas it is, but whenever it's all looking better built on debt, that can't go on very long. It has to come to an end. Somebody got to say, you got to pay these bills now. You can't borrow anymore. You can't keep going credit card to credit card. Eventually, you got to pay. And if you don't, the whole thing collapses. Does it not?
Absolutely. So. And we talk about, you know, when the children and the grandchildren are moving in with their grandparents and the kids are living at home and so forth. So you're right. You can't blame them. To some degree, it's not their fault. It's the government's fault. It's the government's fault for the lousy management of this country by ignoring our Constitution, by taking us off the gold standard, by creating a fiat currency so the government continues to grow. You know, we became the policemen of the world, and here we are today. We've taken out of society, we've taken, you know, morality out of society, we've taken God out of society. There's no right, there's no wrong. If it feels good, you do it.
There's no foundations, no boundaries, no respect. And that is definitely a huge part of it. I mean, and we could get into that forever. The Federal Reserve is totally unconstitutional, not to mention immoral and sinful. The unjust weights and measure we've been using since before I was born are unconstitutional and unjust and sinful. And that's just the way it is. And we're starting to see the results of that. It's taken 100 years, but it's coming about. It truly is. And I don't see anyone on this earth or any group of people on this earth changing that until there's repentance in the nation and we turn back to God and what our founders wrote about. And I don't see that happening, Melody. I just don't see it.
I don't either. And it's I want to be optimistic. I even want to be hopeful.
Well.
But it's kind of, you know, it's difficult.
You've known me now for a few years, and you know that I like to laugh and a joke and pick. You know that also. I certainly do. I'm pretty much a very content person, individual as a whole. But I found out on the news the other day that I can no longer be happy in West Virginia.
Why is that?
Did you not hear that? Hawaii is a happiest state. West Virginia's the least happiest state. So I've got to be in happy.
Okay.
I'm not holding my state standard.
Well.
But anyway.
Where was Maryland?
Maryland, I didn't see they just had it first and last. But the point I'm making is I do enjoy my life as far as what my God has given me. I'm a blessed man. And I count you as one of my blessings, by the way. I do. I don't mean that at all in any way except the truth. And sincerely, I count you as one of my blessings. Marsha and I both do. So I'm a blessed individual. But I'm also a realist. I'm not an idiot. I can see what's going on. I mean, I want to talk briefly, if you don't mind, about this so-called sexual assault by Kavanaugh. I'm not pro-Kavanaugh. I'm not pro-Bush. I mean, Trump. I'm watching, okay? But here's the latest thing on that. I got to share this. The only alleged eyewitness says phony sex assault allegations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh are false, confirms Mark Judge, whom Christine Ford claims was present. Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who wrote the letter accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault, is going public with the story saying she thought he might kill her during an alleged drunken high school attack. I thought he might inadvertently kill me. Said Ford, now a 51-year-old research psychologist in Northern California, to the Washington Post. He was trying to attack me and remove my clothing. Ford said she was able to escape when Kavanaugh's classmate at Georgetown Preparatory School, Mark Judge, jumped on top of them and sent them tumbling. Mark Judge insists it never happened. It's just absolutely nuts. I never saw Brett act that way, Judge told the Weekly Standard on Friday before Ford went public. He had, just to step on down a bit further, she named two other teenagers who she said were at the party who did not respond to the Post inquiries, a paper reported. Now, I want to make this very clear. I don't believe this happened. I really don't. I know that they don't want Kavanaugh in for whatever purpose, and I'm not pro Kavanaugh, but it's probably better than I guess you go. A lot of people we could pick, but if they don't want him in, if this woman took 30 some years to come forth with this claim of molestation, shut your mouth, woman. You're way too late in the ballgame to bring that up. It didn't happen. Witnesses say it didn't happen. And just between you and I don't think she'll show up to testify. I don't think she'll make a fool of herself anymore. I don't think it's going to happen. I may be wrong, but we'll know soon. But it makes me angry that it takes him 30-some years to come out. Why didn't you come out when he was a judge, district judge, or why didn't he come out whenever he was working with other judgeships that he worked in for years? Where was she then?
Well, you know what? A lot of this is Feinstein. And she supposedly had this letter, and it could have just been done in idle chit-chat or something, but she had this letter, and they says the only reason anybody knew about it was because it was quote-unquote leaked. Well, guess who do you think leaked it? Feinstein probably leaked it. I mean, these people are shameless. And it just baffles me. These Democrats will go to no ends, and I think it's going to backfire on them. And I think instead of hurting them for the instead of hurting the Republicans in this election, that's what it's all about. It isn't. I don't think it's about Kavanaugh. I think it's about the election. And I think it's going to backfire. The Democrats are going to lose. But they don't want him in there because they're thinking that they're going to be able to take over, at least find their positions, and that they'll be able to. I know, I hear it, but I wasn't done talking. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not already there.
There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. We have a little package going today. We have the $25 face value of 90% silver. They are the 50-cent pieces, but we're also going to throw in since the prices came down on both, we're going to throw in a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping costs for $425. $425. So it's a great buy. Give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about Kavanaugh and all this nonsense that's coming out. And I don't think she's going to testify. But listening to these senators, Senator Coons and Schumer, I mean, it's just like, I just want to get, I'm not a violent person, but I'd like to smack them. I'd like to smack them, Pastor Butch.
Well,
and
tell them
to stop. And it's just like, it's just, and I was listening to the leader of the Me Too movement today, and she says, oh, survivors, sometimes, you know, they have to come forward in their own time. 36 years in your own time. That's a long time. But you know what? I can visualize. I mean, if you go back to the 80s, you know, here's four young men, you know, going to a private prep school, a 15-year-old. What's she doing driving around and going to parties with four 17-year-old boys to begin with? But she was from a public school, I believe. So you could see she was probably a little, you know, thought she was, you know, doing pretty good going, you know, with a bunch of, you know, boys to a party. So, I mean, if that's her story, though, we don't even know if the party really happened. So, but regardless, they're teenagers.
Well, she can't find the one witness she named, that Mark Judge named, said it didn't happen. The two she asked come forward won't come forward. So, I mean, this is a scam. I know it is. They're trying to delay the hearing for some reason. It's a scam.
He said, she said.
Yes, exactly.
Usually when it's a scam, there is a little bit of truth in order to make it a credible situation. Usually there is little. I'm not sticking up for her at all. Or him. I'm just saying, usually when there's these types of scams, there's a little bit of truth somewhere, and then it's just embellished.
For some reason, certain people are digging to the bottom of the barrel for the lowest scum they can find. And another story here, a prostitute, pervert, pornographic queen, Stormy Daniels, has got a tell-all book out on Trump. And is claiming, so that is going to tell every salacious detail and the claims of cheating. Now listen to this headline. Stormy Daniels, now listen to this. Little girl from Baton Rouge posing a big problem for Trump. Little slut from Baton Rouge is a better picture of that. Posing problem. Now I'm not again pro-Trump. People know me, know that. But come on, people. I mean, this is ridiculous. Should this one have been on TV? I know on there's one show on TV I can't stand. It's called The View. You probably heard of it.
Oh, jeez, Luigi.
I can't stand that. Those liberal idiots. And this woman's on there talking about, and that they are interviewing a prostitute. Melody, that's what she is. Maybe she's on film and doing it. But she's a prostitute. She's getting paid to have sex with men and women, by the way. Is that not prostitution?
Look it up in the dictionary. There's her picture.
Absolutely. And we're giving this woman credibility. And the people, I like to think the people in America are way above this. Oh, well, I think so. I'm sure some of them are so dumb they couldn't find a line in both hands. But I like to think most of them are above this and realize that a whore is a whore is a whore. And we don't pay attention to a whore. That's just the way it is. Not when she accuses one man of having sex with her. How many men she been with? I mean, come on, people. Think about this. Hundreds of men have slept with this woman. And who knows who they were. And she's going to pick out Trump. Why? Because Trump's president. And she may get some money out of him. That's exactly why it's happening. Or she doesn't agree with his policies. I don't know what the reason may be. But it's a fact that she's a prostitute. She's a well-paid whore.
Well, personally, I think they're using her to cover up the real one, and that's the other one. Because you don't hear anyone talking about her.
No, you don't.
She does, and she's the one that had the relationship with Trump. She had more than just a one-night stand. So I think Stormy is just a cover-up for her. And I think this Stormy is all part of the play. I think it's all part of the con to cover up the... I can't remember her name.
I know you're talking about she was a Playboy bunny, I think, or centerfold, whatever, one time. I can't remember name either.
And she had more than a one-night relationship with President Trump after he was married.
They're supposed to be close, I understand. But, you know, maybe I'm just different. Maybe I'm getting old now, but this is before I was old.
But that's what they want. They want people to get emotional over this storm when it's the cover-up for the other one.
Well, it goes on, but I never could understand why a man, any man, would pay to be with a woman, or even with a known prostitute or whore for free. Why would you do that? Why would you pay? Or why not meet the right woman, develop a relationship, get married, and have each other as the way our Bible teaches it? Almost 47 years.
But it's been around
years,
since the beginning of time.
It has been around, yes. But men, I guess some men don't think with anything but the wrong head, and they go for what they can get a hold of. But I am blessed to have the same woman for 47 years. And I really mean that. And I don't understand this. I mean, if you have to pay for it, it's not the same. It's not. There's no feeling there. It's just maybe it's what they like. I don't know. I won't get into that. That's different.
No, I don't want us to get into that either.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But anyway,
can we move on?
Maxine Waters is calling for supporters to knock off Trump. You probably heard that, didn't you?
No, I don't pay any attention to what these people say.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But what if they said knock off Obama?
I don't care
who it'd be in. 3 months after urging leftist resistance to form a mob and physically confront any Republican leaders from seen in public, California Congressman Maxine Waters is at it again. With her new ambiguous incendiary rhetoric, she gave a speech at an event in Washington, D.C. on Friday night, where Waters received a diversity award and where she called for her supporters to knock off President Trump. There are those who say, what if we get rid of him? Then we've got that vice president, and he'll be worse. I say, knock off the first one, and then go after the second one, said Waters. Listen to that. That is asking the people, talk about inciting a riot or hatred. If I would say that on the air about anyone, they'd put me in jail for instigating someone to kill somebody. But she gets by with it. Explain that to me.
Well, I can't.
I mean, I can, but... Yeah. Well, she has a lot more, we'll say, I'm sure, notoriety than I do. I'm a little hillbilly here in West Virginia, that little tiny ministry in the radio. I would say, though, I would have Secret Service in my lap by tomorrow morning if that long. You know that to be true. And she says it and walks down the street and says it again.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I thought you had the answer to that. I figured you'd tell me all the answers.
Well, you know, I don't know what else to say to that. I mean, you know, they're disgusting human beings, and it just baffles me that they get away with it. And it just baffles me that, you know, there isn't just another media outlet other than Fox, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
You know? And it's just...
Well, maybe I should move on with that before I start getting mad again. Then. But anyway, back to the economic recovery situation. For more than half American communities, the economic recovery that has created millions of jobs has pushed GDP growth above 4% during Q2 never happened. Indeed, while urban centers like New York City have created millions of jobs, a study recently highlighted by Axios showed that economic conditions in half the zip code units have actually worsened since the recovery began. Now, I know there's got to be a logical reason for that. But I don't understand what it could quite be. Are there certain sections of the country that aren't producing the products that they need, or the items they need to build the economy in that area not there? What's the reason for that, Melody?
Well, I don't know exactly which zip codes they're referencing, but I mean, take a look at your rural areas. Look at your farms. I mean, we talk about the problems that the dairy farmers are having, the ranchers, the cattle ranchers, the difficulty they're having. They're not getting any premiums for their meats. Look at the tariffs on the soybean farmers, and you know, the government had to give subsidies to these farmers because they're hurting. You have, you know, no one feels for California. You know, we all know, everybody talks about how bad California is, but the almond crop, they're going to be hurting. So there's a lot of places, and it's not trickling down. That's why it's not trickling down. It's going into the big money. I mean, we certainly had enough catastrophic events in the past 2 years, the year and a half, to see, and we have another one now that just happened with Hurricane Florence. Which is going to be billions and billions of dollars. I don't know. Again, all that's is filtering through the economy, but they're very selected areas. So.
Well, it is strange, and I did look at the map that outlined the slower areas, and most of them, you're right, are rural areas, and by the way, West Virginia is one of the ones that will say it's slowest to recover, according to the map. But I do know farmers are really almost on their knees begging, because the tariffs that are hurting them. You know, they're desperate. And I don't know, that maybe we don't think about this enough, but if farmers don't produce, we don't eat. I mean, does that make sense to you?
We get to import it, all right.
Oh, is that how it works? Well, they put tariffs on them, how are we going to afford it?
No.
You know, I mean, I'm serious about that. Farmers are not just a manufacturing job where they put cap bottles on a bottle of Coke. They're producing a product that we have to have. It's called food. And if farmers aren't producing, if they're going under, well, corporations are going to take them over. Corporations are known to do whatever they have to make profits. Monsanto, as you know, it just lost a lawsuit for almost $300 million to a guy because of the Roundup and the poison that fed him, that caused him to have cancer. And now there are hundreds of foods they found out has this product in it. Some of them are called organic, and there's more suits going on right now because of that. Even some grocery stores are going to be sued for carrying these products. So corporations don't have a lot of empathy or sympathy with people. You know that.
Well, you know, DV Kid, you had her on your program, I think, you were gone the last time. I can remember when some of these diet programs really started out in the 80s and mainly the 90s. And I remember she had made a comment that what they basically are, these diet food companies like Nutrisystems and so forth, are just the forefront of how government is going to feed people. And when we see the farmers, the problems that they're having, they're being gobbled up. They're either going to be pushed out of business, they're going to be gobbled up by, you know, someone else, you know, one of these big farmers. We know that with Social Security, but the food stamps, we know Trump signed an executive order so that people who receive food stamps would receive food instead. And it's really coming to that point where how much longer is it going to be until we all receive food from government?
What's happened before has happened. Do you remember commodities? Mm-hmm. Are you old enough to remember commodities? Are you old enough to remember this little girl? When they give out commodities, you had low income, they give you commodities.
They gave you commodities.
Commodities. That was food, but they called it commodities.
Yep.
And do you remember Reagan cheese?
Vaguely.
Yeah. I mean, that was some good cheese, by the way. But anyway, I remember people getting that. You know, this you go to the store and whatever, meet people in the family. I know Mom, Dad did. They gave them so much per size of the family. In fact, they give you food. I mean, you know, maybe cheese and flour or salt, different, whatever they had on hand, I guess. But that was called commodities. Then they come out with food stamps. And they actually later give out, you know, food stamps, so to speak, for a while. Then it went to the card. And now because of, I guess, fraud, they're going back to giving out food again. But whoever feeds you is your master.
Yep.
And people need to understand that. If you depend on someone else to take care of you, they become your lord, so to speak. I don't mean lord with capital L. I mean like a landlord. They control you. If they control what your earnings, your income, if they control your food, you depend on them, they become your tax master, and you're going to obey them if you want to eat. Is this not tying into the beast system, Melody, with the mark of the beast, where you can't buy or sell?
Well, it certainly is, and we see it all coming together with what's happening in our economy, with what's happening with our politics, with what's happening in Washington, with what's happening with around the world, the programs that they're trying to test with the UBIs, the Universal Basic Incomes. You have all these multinational corporations, the Jeff Bezos, the Elon Musks, the Zuckerbergs. These people are billionaires. People say, well, you get mad at people with money. No, I don't. I get upset with the ideas and how they can change our government, our republic, and, you know, the harm that they do with their billions of dollars. And then there was a reason why there was estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have a president who, you know, reduced the estate taxes. Everybody's, oh, well, they weren't fair anyway. Well, yeah. You know, people weren't that penalized, and yet you have these programs. I'm reading about, you know, Puerto Rico today, how that is such the new tax haven, and it's been going on for several years, you know, 2013, 2010, you know, after the Great Recession, how everybody just glommed on to Puerto Rico, and I said, yeah, after the Hurricane Maria of last year, you're going to find even more millionaires and billionaires going to Puerto Rico, buying up the land and where it's a tax haven. To where they can hire the people and pay them, you know, $13 an hour, where their taxes
or less.
You know? Yes, they're taking advantage of the system. But, you know, it's you know, and the poor people, they had a better, it's, you know, they can't complain. They make a good living. I mean, the thinking anymore, Pastor Butch, is just...
I know. Well, we've lost the desire as a people to be independent. Now, independent, I mean taking care of ourselves. As the Bible teaches, to take care of ourselves, clothe ourselves, feed ourselves. We lost that, Melody. We lost it for the idea of an 8-hour-a-day job and a good benefits and good retirement and good insurance. So we have more time to go on vacation to buy nice things. We've lost that.
And we lost the last minutes. We're going into the break today. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I just want to top this off, and then we can go on what you want to talk about, Butch. You know, here today, out of the Russian Defense Ministry, they issued a statement today, clarifying that the fate of an IL-20 plane reported shot down off the coast of Syria the night before. Officials now confirm it was shot down by a Syrian S-200 missile, but that it was the fault of Israeli F-16 warplanes. It killed 15 of the Russian service members, and President Trump was asked about this today when he was on his interview with the Poland president. I didn't have the opportunity to listen to his response, but there were four Israeli F-16s attacked Syria's coastline from offshore, and the defense ministry says that the jets used a larger Russian surveillance plane as cover during the attack. And then when the air defense system tried to target the Israeli attackers, they hit the Russian plane by mistake and then killing the... So the Israeli military insisted this entirely wasn't their fault, and that Syria was later responsible. So we'll have to say, I mean, Russia certainly is not happy, saying they reserve the right to respond accordingly. It's not quite sure what that will mean, but Russia has repeatedly publicly warned Israel to stay away from Latakia. And this is likely to do substantial harm to the Russian-Israeli tie. So, kind of interesting.
It is, and it's heating up over there every day. It really is. A lot more than we know.
Because yesterday they supposedly made some sort of Idlib agreement.
Right.
That they were going, you know, so they were basically at a... I don't know what you want to call it, a ceasefire situation. And so Israel doesn't want that to happen. Israel doesn't want any type of ceasefire. So, you know, no. Here you go. So now that is, that deal seems to be kind of off the table now. So, so we'll see if that remains to be canceled, the military offensive against the rebel-held Idlib province in northern Syria was canceled. We'll have to see if that continues. But anyway,
time
will tell.
Move on to another financial situation, and these are things we may discuss for a minute here. The headline says, "What's to blame for the problems of Sears, Amazon, or bad management?" Now, this is kind of interesting, and it makes sense. Sears turned in another bleak quarterly earnings report on Thursday, and Lambert complained about the billions of dollars that Sears owes its former employees through pension plans. Mm-hmm. Lambert and Sears has paid almost $2 billion in the pension plans in the past 5 years, and $4.5 billion since Sears and Kmart merged in 2005 to form Sears Holdings. The company pays retirees about $300 million a year, filing showed. If Sears could have put that money into operations, we would have seen in a better position to compete with larger retail companies, many of which don't have large pension plans, Lambert wrote in a blog. Now, comment on this. Okay, they're paying $300 million last year, a year to retirees. Who made the promises? Yeah, the employees took it and were probably glad to get it. And they foolishly, as all of us have, put our trust in man-made organizations or governments to keep the promises to us, not thinking that one day this could come to an end because the finances may go away. Foolishly, we believe that. And that's Bible, Bobby, too, folks. That's Bible. But they were given the promises. So Sears is sorry they made them. If Sears goes under, Melody, what would the retirees do then?
Well, we talked a little bit about this last week and about Sears Hunt. You know, they're blaming because it's just a matter of time until they come in and cut it more. And, you know, it's happening all over the country. Your pension, your retirement accounts are at risk. They're not going to allow that money to sit there. A lot of it is unfunded in these pension accounts, and they can't pay it. So what do you think is going to happen?
Of course. And then when it happens, what's going to be the response? Who's going to take up the gap? Who's going to make up the difference?
It's not going to be me.
it could be us through government programs.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, I don't know. To me, it's a good question. I mean, who's going to make up the difference? And how are they going to make up the difference? I don't know.
Well, they're going to do. They'll just cut it by, you know, whatever they have to, whether it be, you know, 50%, 70%, maybe even 80%. They'll just cut it. They'll just take away the benefits.
And the people that can't pay the bills now are going to be a real jam then, aren't they?
Yeah.
And we'll move on to different countries. A big problem. 40% of Venezuela stores go bust after 3,000% minimum wage hike. Did you hear that? Wow. The dream of socialism, and we need to put that this in the Washington Post and New York Times, the dream of socialism has once again collided with the reality of economics after nearly 40% of stores in Venezuela have been forced to close following a mandated 3,000% increase in minimum wage by the Maduro government, according to the Miami Herald, citing the National Council of Commerce and Services of Venezuela. Beginning this week, 7 million Venezuelan employees were to be guaranteed 1,800 bolivars a month, around $20 USD on the black market. Men and companies, which have been barely surviving the gradual collapse of the economy, saw the salary increase and other changes announced last month as a fatal flaw, a blow in a string of policies that have been gradually strangling their operations. It's a perfect storm, said Maria Carolina Uzgosny, president of the council. These decisions are leading many people to say, I know I can't do it anymore. Further complicating the situation are price caps on goods sold in stores, which are now selling below cost and cannot raise prices to cover the mandatory increase in salaries. If store owners are caught raising prices, they face fines and prison. We have inspections, and they force us to sell at last month's prices, said Unicasi. That takes money away from the business because of the hyperinflation, when you can't even sell at yesterday's prices because you lose money. And anyone who protests against these measures runs the risk of going to jail without the right to appeal, without the right to do anything, simply because the official whose turn it was to inspect the store just felt like arresting you. He did it, and that's all, she said. Some employees are restructuring costs, rejiggering pay scales, and negotiating settlements with workers. Others are simply dismissing people. Inflation in Venezuela hit 200% in August alone, according to estimates by the Legislative National Assembly, while the bolivar has lost two-thirds of its value in 31 days. Melanie, this is a mathematical conundrum in my mind. How does a currency lose two-thirds of its value in 31 days, lose two-thirds more next month, and two-thirds more the following month, until there's nothing at all left?
How do you want me to answer that?
I want you to just explain to me, how can a currency drop 99% and then drop two-thirds again next month and still have anything left at all?
Well, it doesn't have anything left at all. Certainly, that's why their inflation is the level that it's at. And, you know, they've been predicted to have, what, 1,000,000% inflation by
yes.
the end of the year?
Or more.
So, I mean, it is, you know, it's amazing what happens to your money. It's worth nothing. And, you know, I don't know where they're, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they're going to have to peg their currency to something. I don't, you know, it's going to be probably pegged. I can't imagine them pegging it to the dollar. So I, you know, Zimbabwe did. You know, they started trading in dollars. That's the only thing that got them out of their problem, you know, when they had that same type of inflation. So, but as many sanctions that we as we have on Venezuela, I can't imagine. But maybe that's the whole point of the sanctions.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's just to say, maybe that's the whole point. You know, that's what they, you know, what they want is for them to start using the U.S. dollar.
Well, when the people obviously are going hungry and losing everything they had, the electricity's on and off, and there's water's being, people are being charged the water by the trucks coming
through. They don't care about the people.
No, they don't.
No.
And people are leaving by the thousands. How long before the nation ceased to exist?
You know, and the thing of it is you know, it's you know, it is a different culture. It is a different standard of living. You know, I it didn't take them long until they were, you know, sacrificing their animals for food. I think it would take a little bit longer for us, but so it is a little bit different, but. But the fact of the matter is, you know, people are losing. Governments don't care. Other governments don't care about the people.
True.
And it's all about positioning themselves and trying to get in there and take as much as they can get while the, you know, while everybody is down.
Well, people, parents are actually selling their children for sexual favors. And that's a fact. I'm not making it up. That's really true. That's documented.
You know, so when they're down, they're going to stomp them. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So it's about the people. It's you know, certainly the socialist government worked while oil was doing well, but you know, it broke their back when the oil dropped down to what, the $25 level, and you know, and then the additional sanctions, and you know, it was, you know, there's a lot of reasons why the Saudis dropped their oil prices and their production. So you know, it went from $100 to $25. It completed a lot. It helped the Saudis and it helped the United States. And that's why I think one of the reasons why we're still backing the Saudis for Yemen. That's why we continue to give them money and weapons so they can kill those people. And nobody talks about the children that are being massacred, the humanitarian crisis that they're having. Nobody talks about
it. It's the dollar that matters.
It's all about
Yep. Well, here's something maybe a little, we're doing out of time. Coca-Cola looking to produce pod-infused drinks.
Mm.
Oh, man, this is real.
Well, they used Coca-Cola. To make it cocaine.
Yeah, they did. They used to make, this is part of the article. Coca-Cola, which started in 1886, offering a cocaine-infused tonic for medical purposes, may become the latest major brand to enter the marijuana market. And after Bloomberg reports that the Atlanta-based company has been monitoring the cannabis industry for potential partnerships. In particular, the company is said to be looking at drinks infused with CBD. Now, folks, that's not kind of make you high. It doesn't work. The psychoactive cannabis compound that treats everything from pain, inflammation to epilepsy, but doesn't get you stoned. The Atlanta-based soft drinks maker is in talks. What's the point? There you go. Good point. The Atlanta-based soft drinks maker is in talks with Canadian marijuana producer Aurora Cannabis to develop the beverages, according to a report from BNN Bloomberg Television. You know, and I know CBD oil, real CBD oil, pure. Now they have there's about, I don't know, like 800 companies out there supposed to be making CBD oil, but they have everything in from kerosene to gasoline. I'm serious. You got to be careful where you buy it. But CBD oil, pure oil, although people are not allowed to say this, to sell it, had been known to cure situations in the body. It's a phenomenal natural process. And hemp is not marijuana. Hemp was used to make fuel for cars under Henry Ford. Henry Ford made a car out of hemp, a whole car. And a baseball bat wouldn't even put a scratch on it. It wouldn't hurt it. But when the oil company found out about that, they put a stop to that. They made rope out of hemp. They made clothing out of hemp. They did a lot of things with hemp. But it started cutting into the big producers' money, so they cut it out. They get rid of it. But hemp is not marijuana. Hemp was the one time a product everybody could use for a lot of different reasons. Are you still talking to me?
Yes, I am.
I thought maybe you got stoned while I was talking.
Until... No, of course not.
But anyway, but you know, when Hemp started competing with the big companies, like the oil manufacturers, they had to stop it. And Ford actually did make fuel to run his cars on out of hemp, and he actually made a car. You can go online and find this, made from the plant of hemp. And that thing was almost invincible.
Have you seen these hydro flashlights?
Yes, I have.
Do they work?
I have never had one. I don't know. I just see them. Never had one.
I remember I saw a movie a very long time ago. We're going to finish up here in just a minute, so I don't mean to take away from your story. But I remember watching this movie where these brother and sister, it was mainly the brother who created an engine that would run on water. And the end of the movie was, well, they both the brother and the sister got killed by big oil because, you know, they certainly didn't want to, you know, have competition. So it was interesting when I was beginning to read about this hydro flashlight and everything. It's like, well, I guess you really can have energy with water. So anyway,
nothing real new. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's nothing. It isn't new. Another article, get real quick, around our time. Google has come up with a new pollution police to patrol areas to check for pollution.
Good.
I'll make this up. Yeah, Google.
Okay.
The global cruisers that collect data for they're making more accurate maps now have a mission, and it is one that's sure to make green groups cheer. The tech company is bolstering its fleet with updated pollution predictor devices, recording devices from the San Francisco company Alcama to patrol streets in Europe and the United States and monitor fluctuating levels of air quality. Drivers prepare for the environmental regulations, businesses make way for the costly controls, and builders get prepared for those big permits. There you go. Another way to police us.
Yep.
Google. Imagine that. Google getting involved. I mean, Google's such a good company. You can trust them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, you can. But you can trust Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. We're out of time. So until, let's see, I'll be back tomorrow with Wendy Wilson and Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
A single penny left for me. That's too bad.